This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio by
Christine Wong.
We're going to be with you for about an hour today, and we're discussing travel. Now, while everyone agrees the travel program that kicks off in Langkawi next week is the lifeline businesses on the island need, not everyone feels the island is ready to welcome visitors once again. We're going to be discussing how the move will impact the hospitality segment, tourism players and travellers, and some of the lessons that we can take from Phuket's sandbox plan. Of course, we're asking you a question. Will you be travelling to Langkawi under the travel bubble pilot? You can let us know. We're polling over on Twitter. You can get us at BFM Radio. And of course, over on Instagram as well, also at BFM Radio. And if you want to get in touch via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899, of course, is Langkawi ready to welcome travellers?
Yes, so Langkawi is set to receive visitors again starting next week. And Prime Minister Ismail Sabri Yaakob announced over the weekend the special committee meeting on pandemic management had decided to start the pilot travel bubble program on the island from September 16th for fully vaccinated domestic tourists.
Now, according to several travel and tourism bodies, Langkawi tourism players are eager and prepared for the state of the travel bubble program, and they are currently ironing out last-minute preparations in anticipation of the return of tourists, hopefully people like you and me eventually, Chris.
Hopefully.
Malaysian Inbound Tourism Association, MITA, President Uzaidi Udanis said industry players were ready with new products that cater to domestic tourists who may look for attractions or activities that are more private or secluded or done outdoors because of the pandemic. He did admit that there are some minor last-minute details to be worked on. Car rentals need to renew their road tax. Mm-hmm. That's been a problem all over. Mm-hmm. Chalets need landscaping. Of course, the problem has sat for a while, so nobody's been there doing that. Mm-hmm. Small maintenance details to make sure everything's in order. He added that Langkawi has not had tourists since March of 2020. The association has been trying to get as many businesses trained and certified for compliance with government SOPs. They're also thinking about clusters from tourist groups and will be encouraging the tourists to give feedback to their call centre if there are any complaints on SOPs.
Yes, and meanwhile, the Malaysian Association of Hotels believes that the travel bubble initiative in Langkawi was a good start, quote, as tourism needs to restart somehow and somewhere. It, however, warned that learning from Phuket's sandbox project to restart tourism, the initiative is not meant to be foolproof, and the SOPs would not necessarily guarantee zero COVID-19 cases. Hmm. Malaysian Association of Hotels CEO Yap Lip Seng, whom we'll be speaking to later on in the show, said, and I quote, there must be an acceptable threshold percentage for COVID-19 cases from the project. Contingency measures must be prepared in advance to deal with it to minimize local risks. This is the only way to move forward. The SOPs and mechanisms must be clear. We cannot afford any backtracking, but they can be improved and enhanced along the way. Given the current sentiments, he added that hotels must brace themselves for a slow period during the initial stages of the project. But overall, the initiative may provide a lifeline to the industry that could no longer sustain purely on the government.
I'm not entirely sure that bracing themselves for a slow period is what I'm imagining. I'm imagining quite the opposite. But anyway,
we'll see.
This comes, of course, as the Malaysian Association of Tour and Travel Agents, MATA, the Kedah chapter, confirmed tourism players in Langkawi were ready to reopen and We're waiting for guidelines from the Tourism, Arts and Culture Ministry. The Langkawi Development Authority, LADA, has apparently conducted courses for the tourism and food and beverage sectors with emphasis on strict adherence to SOPs. But not everyone seems to feel this preparedness. According to the NST, hotel and tourism industry players are calling for the National Security Council, the NSC, to enforce clear and sustainable COVID-19 prevention rules as they gear up to welcome local tourists. Several associations said clarity was crucial to ensure the revival of Langkawi's tourism industry was a success. With less than 2 weeks before the pilot program kickstarts, they have called for the NSC to speed up the announcement of the SOPs to prepare them and travellers. Malaysian Inbound Tourism Association President Uzaidi Udanis was also quoted in the NST piece. He called the Malaysian day start date the test day for Langkawi, adding that it was very important that Langkawi was a success story and that it could set the reopening of tourism precedents for other places in the country.
Yes, and on the status of the SOPs, Uzaidi said, quote, currently we are waiting for the SOP and I hope it will not be too late. We need to know what we need to comply with so that we can prepare for the reopening on the right foot to ensure our best services. We do not want anything that could cause a delay in our operations. Clarity of the SOP as well as ensuring sustainability are vital. This could be a challenge as we know the virus is dynamic. We hope the process can be expedited. People are already making plans and we have been receiving inquiries. In the meantime, Uzaini said they were working with tourism players on room rate campaigns and entrance fee promotions to stimulate demand so that tourism activities could remain active until next year. Such campaigns, he said, would enable tourists to buy advance tickets or vouchers and use them anytime, taking into consideration that people have lost their jobs during the pandemic and have less spending power. He also spoke about concerns over over-tourism and how they do not want revenge tourism, as it is not sustainable.
That's definitely going to be a thing, I think, for sure. People, you know, sending in WhatsApp messages already. Yes, I can't wait to finally take a vacation. Thanks, Kevin, for that. Number ending 5145. I'd love to travel to Langkawi, but for now, definitely no. Mixed bag already. I mean, how much do you love Langkawi, Chris? You know, is it one of those places that if you were allowed to travel around Malaysia, it would be the top of your list?
Honestly, maybe not the top of my list because I've got relatives in other states, so they come first.
Yeah, yeah.
But in terms of just taking a vacation, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it's the first place I ever went here in Malaysia. It's always, you know, it's that place that if I need a break, it's always the first place I think of. I suppose it raises a question, though. Is there anywhere better that we can have a trial for this bubble program, do you think?
We have a couple of suggestions. Well, we have one suggestion at the moment on Instagram here. Steve28 says it's not a good paradise. Why isn't Penang open to tourists?
That's a good question.
So, you know, I think there's a sort of feeling of why start there? Why start with Langkawi specifically? But
okay, we'll leave that question open to you guys. Will you be travelling to Langkawi under the travel bubble pilot? Let us know. We are polling over on Twitter at BFM Radio, of course. We'll give you some numbers when we come back after the break, but let's have some music to take us there. Queen with Don't Stop Me Now here on Enterprise Biz Bytes with me and Chris on BFM 89.
Begin fun moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hey, folk, welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong.
We're still going to be with you until around 1 o'clock this afternoon. We are talking about traveling in a bubble to Langkawi. And now, while everyone does agree, the travel bubble program that kicks off in Langkawi next week is a lifeline businesses on the island need. Not everyone feels the island is ready to welcome visitors once again.
Yes, so what can we expect when we, well, if/when we travel to Langkawi under this new travel bubble program? Now, according to the Langkawi Development Authority, nearly all tourism products on the island are expected to be open to tourists, subject to the SOPs set by the National Security Council. And what this means is all products such as hotels, business premises, eateries and other activities like water sports will all be ready to accept visitors with their own specific SOPs.
Yes, and all of this, according to Malaysian Association of Hotels, the MAH CEO, Yap Lip Sang, is part of the exit plan on living with the pandemic and transitioning to it being endemic. We've got her on the line with us to tell us more about these transitioning measures and how the SOPs will be enforced on the island during this travel bubble. Lip Sang, what are your thoughts about the Langkawi travel bubble? Is this a welcome move from MAH's perspective?
We see it as a good start. Tourism needs to restart somehow and somewhere. Langkawi has been well prepared for this purpose and can set an example for other destinations. SOPs and mechanism must be clear, and it cannot afford any backtracking. It can only be improved and enhanced along the way. However, given the current sentiments of travellers, hotels need to be prepared to still sustain with minimum business and strategize for future arrivals. The initiative will provide a lifeline to the industry, as it can no longer sustain purely on government subsidies. While it's not expected to generate much in the beginning, it needs to be able to provide sufficient motivation for the industry to restart. The mechanism will stand as a guideline for future reopening of the rest of the tourism industry, including international arrivals overall. This is important to place Malaysia on the world map as a choice destination again. And most importantly, the project is an indicator of sustainability of the tourism industry, that it will recover and there is commitment from all parties. This will also drive talents back to the industry, having lost substantially over the past 1.5 years.
And do we have any data on how the hospitality industry in Langkawi has been doing over the last year or so?
Since the beginning of the pandemic, Langkawi is one of the most impacted destinations due to its dependency on international arrivals, particularly the high-yield markets. Langkawi had always enjoyed higher average room rates pre-COVID, largely due to foreign tourists. It is, however, given the situation where Malaysians are unable to travel overseas, it is still a popular choice for locals, when hotels will need to sacrifice in terms of room rates. While occupancy was only averaging at 20% or less at most times, the reopening of interstate travel saw occupancy inching up to 30s, but since the restriction in January till now, average occupancy is at most single digit.
Single digits? So I guess this news of welcoming tourists again must be welcomed by the people of Langkawi.
I think there are mixed reactions on the ground. While many are highly dependent on tourism, they are, however, cautious with the reopening and even to the extent seeing it as a risk. But overall, we believe stakeholders and ordinary people alike are looking forward to an exit plan, strategies to live with COVID-19 and accept it as part and parcel of life moving forward. As much as we have learned from other similar initiatives such as Phuket, and it is crucial to understand that the initiative is not meant to be foolproof. It is not meant to be perfect. It will not guarantee zero COVID cases. But what it is an exit plan to live with COVID-19, having understood that it will not go away. We must be able to accept a threshold percentage of COVID cases from it and contingency measures prepared in advance to deal with it that will minimize local risk. This is the only way moving forward.
Right. I mean, speaking of contingencies, can you talk to us about the measures in place to ensure the safety of tourists?
The advantage of reopening tourism on an island is the level of control. Whether it is the government or private sector, they are able to put plans in place for almost any and every eventuality. And the government had done its part to ensure high percentage of vaccination on the island. Hotels, for example, other than embarking on mass clean and safe hygiene and safety certification, is also currently ramping up safety trainings for its employees. Under the Clean and Safe Malaysia certification, hotels are also prepared with contingency plans in the event of any detected cases from influx of tourists. On a larger scale, Langkawi Development Authority, LADA, is also training all other stakeholders on safe travel protocols.
Now, there were murmurs over a lack of clarity on some of the SOPs. We're just over a week away now from the island reopening. And do you think industry players have received clear guidelines on the SOPs for reopening yet?
Actually, discussion took off many months back. And our marketer chapter not only initiated meetings with the authorities, but also submitted proposals of SOPs for safe reopening. And we were informed that the Minister of Tourism, Arts and Culture is also working hard on ensuring the right SOPs are being imposed. And this needs to balance public health needs as well as tourism needs to ensure that the SOPs are practical for leisure implementation. We are, however, still waiting for the final SOPs, and with high hopes that the interstate travel for fully vaccinated persons will be allowed.
And how do you see these SOPs being enforced when they do come?
As with any SOP, it takes cooperation from all parties, from authorities to stakeholders and visitors or tourists. There will be times when people are expected to self-regulate. We cannot expect authorities to be watching 24/7. Hotels and stakeholders will play a major role in sharing and monitoring of SOP compliance even before the arrival of guests and educate them of the SOPs. However, enforcement is best carried out in a constructive way, corrective rather than punitive, for long-term compliance. We hope that the authorities will carry out inspections with the objective of educating businesses and the public and not just to issue out summons.
Now, I have another question, and this is echoed by some of the messages that we're receiving here via WhatsApp and via social media. It's what about, you know, healthcare and medical support? Does the island have the facilities to manage if there are new clusters from a travel bubble?
We are confident that the authorities, especially the Ministry of Health, has studied the situation and care capacity needed for any and all eventualities. The private sector, like the hotels, are prepared with contingency plans and to support in case of need. We must not set expectation of absolutely zero case from the initiative. Instead, we need to be prepared if there are any cases or clusters brought in.
And finally, what are your hopes for tourism players in Langkawi following this move?
Look forward and move forward. No more backtracking. No more looking back. Be prepared for the impending recovery, though it may not be at our preferred pace, but at least it is moving. And lastly, uphold the spirit of the tourism industry, be our best, be Malaysia, truly Asia.
Okay, we're going to take a short break in a moment, but of course we are asking you whether or not you'll be travelling to Langkawi under the travel bubble pilot. Let us know. We are polling over on Twitter and on Instagram at BFM Radio. We'll get you some of those numbers when we come back after the break. But when we do come back, we'll be speaking to a hospitality player in Langkawi to hear her hopes and concerns for when this travel bubble actually comes into effect. Stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bites here on BFM 89.9.
Brave, free, Malaysia, BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Christine Wong.
We are talking about travel bubbles today. And whilst everyone agrees the travel bubble program that kicks off in Langkawi next week is the lifeline businesses on the island need, not everyone feels the island is ready to welcome visitors once again. We're discussing about how the move will impact the hospitality segment, tourism players and travellers, and some of the lessons we can take from Phuket's sandbox plan. We're asking you guys, will you be travelling to Langkawi under the travel bubble pilot? We're running a poll over on Twitter. We've got some numbers for you right now. 54% of you already saying no, it's too soon, with 24% of you saying yes when it's safe, 15% of you saying yes immediately, with 6% of you saying no, not fully vaxxed yet. And the Yakul has said, no, we're not travelling there. I'm saving the money to go to Phuket. Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thanks for that. Okay, Chris, what have you got?
On Insta Story, we just have a yes or no poll with no at 67% and yes at 33%. We've also got a couple of responses here as well. It's Trish XO says, friends in Langkawi say that every other family they know has COVID. It's not safe yet. Oof.
Wow.
Susanology says, it is where the crowd will be. Nicholas Yeo says, there'll be too many people at one spot for a prolonged duration. Too risky. And Amrit K. Ball says, no money for a holiday due to salary reduction.
Mm. I mean, I want this to work. You know, I want this to be one of those things, and I'm sure it will, but I don't know. There's always teething problems, right?
Well, do you know what? We have actually an expert on the line as well.
We do.
To give us some information about whether or not she thinks it will work. We actually have Karina Bahrain, co-owner of La Pari Pari Hotel Langkawi and the Fat Cupid Cafe and Restaurant on the line as well. Obviously, she actually runs a tourist spot in Langkawi. So we want to gauge their preparedness and eagerness to welcome travellers to the island. So thank you very much, Karina, for staying on the line with us. Now, how do we feel about the Langkawi travel bubble?
I think all of us here in Langkawi are looking forward to it reopening because, you know, realistically, most of us have not had any real business since January this year.
Karina, sorry to interrupt, but how bad has it been for the hospitality industry? I mean, we hear about it, but how bad has it been over the last year or so? And, you know, how's business been at La Pari Pari been affected?
Oh, apart from the times when people have been allowed to travel, I think business has been virtually non-existent for most of us. For the F&B sector, they've at least been able to get a small amount of revenue from takeaways and deliveries. But as you know, our domestic population is not very big. It's only about 108,000. So whatever it is that the F&B sector is able to earn is definitely a lot less than when tourists are allowed to come.
Mm-hmm. So what have the hotels there had to do to make ends meet?
I don't think it has been a question of making ends meet. I think it's been a question of staying afloat. So most of us have had to look at reducing costs and also trying to manage things so that when we reopen, our properties are still in good condition. That's been the focus, I believe, for most of us.
Mm-hmm. And do you think Langkawi is actually ready for this? And what measures have been put in place on the hospitality side to cater to the influx, perhaps, of tourists?
Well, actually, when the travel bubble was announced recently, prior to that, LADA, the Langkawi Development Authority, had already done consultative meetings with the sector, you know, all of us in the sector, and talked to us about the travel bubble and the kind of guidelines that they are negotiating with the government. So at the moment, I think all of us have had a couple of weeks to look at reopening. And we're just waiting for the government to finalize all the guidelines so that both tourists and the hospitality players can be crystal clear about the way forward.
I mean, speaking of which, there's this term that keeps being thrown about. It's a controlled fixed travel itinerary. Now, some say this removes the freedom that travelers usually have when exploring the island and its attractions. How do you feel this will affect the Langkawi experience for travelers to the island?
I think travel in general around the world is going to change, you know, if it hasn't already. So I do know that there's some talk about exploring the possibility of these kind of controlled itineraries for inbound international travelers later, in lieu, I suppose, of a total quarantine when they come into a country, right? So, I mean, it's hard to say. Yes, is it going to limit freedoms? Of course it will, but would you prefer that to sitting at home? You know, I don't think we can have our cake and eat it too anymore. So, right.
Oh, okay. Now, are there any concerns that this announcement might come a little bit too soon? You know, we're still recording scary case numbers on a daily basis. Are there any concerns that this may lead to a spike in cases on the island, like what happened with Phuket following their sandbox travel bubble program?
Of course there are concerns. I mean, you know, we're not a very large island and anything that hits us may hit us really hard. The good thing is that the immunization, you know, the vaccination rate here is very high. It's been high. But I think at the end of the day, we've come to a point now, not just here, but worldwide, where I think we're all starting to realize this COVID-19 is something we're all going to have to live with. So it's a question of how you live with it moving forward, how disciplined people are going to be in terms of following procedures and keeping their hygiene standards up.
Now, does the island have the facilities to manage a potential cluster? How many hospitals are there on the island and are they equipped?
Well, we're not a very large island. We do have one hospital here, which has been handling the COVID cases. I don't hear anything about, you know, our hospital being at full or over capacity. It has not been. But at the same time, Langkawi being an island, it has always had a connection to hospitals on the mainland. So anytime, you know, things get too much, people are medevaced out. I mean, that's always been the case. So even though, yes, we're an island, we're still linked to the mainland. I think that, you know, if we have to, we'll lean on those facilities too, from what I understand.
Okay, final question then. Are you excited to have people back at La Peri-Peri? And what are your hopes for tourism in Langkawi following this move?
Of course I'm excited. It'd be nice to see people back at our place again. But, a part of me is inclined to just go slowly, you know. Slowly just trying to reopen. And in the meantime, we're doing a lot internally to just relook SOPs again and see where it can be tightened. We're even changing the way that we might possibly, you know, provide services to our customers. We're looking at providing an option where a self-care option where they will have less contact with us, for those people who prefer that. So just looking at different ways that we can do business.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Karina. Now, we're going to take a short break. And when we do come back, we're going to take a very quick look at the Phuket reopening model to give ourselves an idea of what traveling to Langkawi could be like when the island opens up to tourists next week, as well as the impact welcoming foreign tourists could have on the island. Let's take a short break. Music from Supergrass with All Right here on BFM 89.9.
Busy finding money. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. You may have just heard my tummy rumble there, actually. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong.
And of course, we're talking about the Langkawi travel bubble today. And of course, the idea for this comes on the back of Phuket's sandbox plan. We're going to be talking a little bit more about that. But first up, we want to address some of the messages we've got via WhatsApp and Instagram and whatnot. Maggie Best first has said, no, not traveling yet. I don't trust others' compliance with SOPs, and they're practicing even basic hygiene. Every morning I see people not religiously doing their temperature checks. Why is that? Almost everyone is vaccinated. Another one yet from Eugene, who says, really want to travel to Langkawi to support a few good businesses there. But let's be honest, it is not safe at all. Daily cases are not really improving and the mutated virus variants are scarily dangerous, be it vaxxed or not. So I won't be travelling so soon, but I really, really want to. Thanks for that, Eugene. That's kind of echoed, I think, as well by the numbers over on Twitter. 53.9% of you saying, no, it's too soon. 24.9% saying, yes, when it is safe. 14.9% saying, yes, immediately. With 6.7% saying, no, not fully vaxxed yet.
Yeah, and also that's my full name tweeted as well, just pointing out how to go. We can't even cross state borders or districts, which actually, true,
yeah,
true enough. Now, we have also got a couple of responses here on Instagram. The poll hasn't shifted. It's still no at 67% and yes at 33%. But we do have some opinions. So Ayman, THMN, says, went there already last year. Well done, you.
Thank you. Thanks for that.
Yeah. Fazli Marudin says, I'm a student and I'm broke, so no. Harish Naya says, it would be nice. Adam Wong JC says, a holiday for mental health. Nur Shadas says, I have faith in government management and the vaccine, and it would help out domestic recovery. And then we've got one here that says, I want to so badly, but that could also, what to do? So, you know, I think a lot of people, there's this feeling of, we really want to, but maybe not right now.
Right. And that's echoed across industry as well. We've seen it. You know, people want to get their hair cut, but they don't.
Mm-hmm.
They want to go to other places like supermarkets, but they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Takut is definitely the word. Now, Phuket opened to vaccinated Thai and foreign travellers back in July, the 1st of July, actually. And travellers do not need to quarantine, but they must stay in Phuket and Samui or Krabi for at least 14 days and will then be allowed to visit other destinations in Thailand. Now, a couple of months down, the private sector in Phuket is now urging the government to fully reopen the resort island by December the 1st, saying the move can bring in more than 210 billion baht, that's almost 27 billion ringgit, in tourism-related revenue in just 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
The call came as businesses in Phuket realised that they won't be able to survive with the island only partially reopened under the Phuket sandbox scheme, as only 20,000 tourists have come over the past 2 months. They say what they need now is a Freedom Day on December the 1st.
Yeah, so along with the president of the Phuket Tourism Council, local business associations are submitting their proposal for the island's reopening under a new campaign called Phuket Freedom Day. Under the proposal, all businesses on the island will fully resume, with all residents of the island returning to their usual way of life while remaining safe from COVID-19 by observing public health guidelines. Under the proposal, all target groups on the island should receive a third booster jab for the reopening to succeed. Meanwhile, tourists will be required to show proof of vaccination and or undergo a rapid COVID-19 antigen test prior to entering. This proposal was designed to follow the United Kingdom's model for reopening, which required 90% of target groups within the population to be fully vaccinated against COVID-19. To achieve the goal, Phuket will need to roll out more jabs.
So Freedom Day then on December 1st. What do you think about this, Chris? Would you know, again, we want to, but do we?
Yeah, I think there's still a hesitation, and the hesitation is very understandable. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, and the final numbers, of course, still echoed. 53.9% of you saying, no, it's too soon. You know, that's just over half of you, and I completely understand that.
Yeah.
And, you know, my heart is with Langkawi. My support are with the businesses there. I am so eager to get there. But I feel, for me personally, I think it's a little bit too soon.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I want to, I cannot wait to get out and just put my feet into some sand.
Yeah, I would like to just sit in a place that isn't my house.
That's right, yes. Anyway, folks, thank you very much for taking part in today's show, for all of your messages, your WhatsApps, your tweets, and taking part of that in that poll, of course. We were asking you whether or not you'd be travelling to Langkawi under the travel bubble pilot and to let us know about that. We had just over 250 votes. But don't go anywhere. We've got more stuff coming up for you, of course, after the 1 o'clock news. It's a Breakfast Grill replay. And 1 year on from when when they joined the Breakfast Grill in the hot seat, one-stop e-payment solutions provider GHL, one of the earliest players in the field, returned to talk to them about whether they're able to ride the digital payment boom or if they've been left behind in the fintech race. They also discussed the merits of their new business model and if it will help transition the group from legacy hardware to riding the digital payment boom. That's with Sean S. Hesch, the group CEO of GHL. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. I'll be back with Christine, same time, same place tomorrow at noon for Enterprise BizBite to take us up to the top of the hour. Some music from Courtney Barnett with City Looks Pretty here on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.